Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's a great Sunday to be together here as a church family. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor, so it's my pleasure to welcome you all into our community of faith today. Welcome our friends who are also joining us on Facebook Live and through our church website. So wherever we find ourselves here on this first Sunday in the season of Advent, it's a great time to be together, to feel the presence of Christ alive and moving here among us this morning. As we're gathered, we ask you to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find our tear-off sheet that says connect at the very top. And so we invite you to tear it off now and fill it out by connecting with us and letting us know that you were here with us in worship today. You can also jot down the backside prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life. You can also tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting involved in the ministry of our congregation. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plate that is located outside our main sanctuary doors. And so we hope that you'll take it with you as you leave the sanctuary following our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us online, you're invited to go to our church website, and you can download a copy of today's worship bulletin, and you can follow along with us from wherever you find yourself today. We also invite you to have ready their elements of communion, kind of whatever you have at home is good, so you can join with us around the Lord's table later on in our worship service this morning. On the very back of your bulletin, you see great things that are happening in the life of our church in this wonderful church season. We began a new class today during the Sunday school hour from about 9:15 to 10 in room 7 on the book called The Angels of Christmas that kind of goes along with my sermon series. Tom Manning has been teaching that for us. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, we hope that you'll come early to church next week and you can be a part of that new class. You see a note in your bulletin that is a wonderful kind of note card. On the back side, it has a list of dates and times of all of our services throughout the season of Advent and then moving into Christmas. This is for you all to kind of know what's going on, but it is also for you to invite someone in your life who would like to be a part of our church family. This is that time of the year when folks who don't normally go to church start thinking about going to church. And so we hope that you will take your card and invite someone to worship with us next week. There are extras located in the church office and on the Welcome Center. So if you want to pick up a big stack and then invite some friends to church, you can do so after worship today. In this season of Advent, we love having little short worship services on Tuesday nights. We call them little Advent worship. And so we have three of them this season. And the first is this Tuesday night. There's a short little worship service at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And then we have a fellowship soup supper down in the fellowship hall at 6:30 following. And so it's a wonderful way to kind of mark the season. And so we hope that you will come for the first of these this Tuesday night. Lastly, you may have heard the good news that at our board meeting on Monday, our board heard a report from our Youth and Children's Pastor Search Committee, and our board voted unanimously to call Annika McVeigh as our new Youth and Children's Pastor, and so we're very excited about this. Pastoral positions within our church go through a congregational vote following our board vote. And so next Sunday at our annual congregational meeting, which is going to take place in between services, in addition to our church budget and slate of officers, we're going to be voting to call Annika to this new position. And so we give thanks to God for God's moving and God's grace here in this wonderful time in the life of our church. In addition to this, after the soup supper on Tuesday night in the fellowship hall at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a little meet and greet for Annika. And so if you'd like to come by and say hello, if you don't know her, we hope that you'll come on Tuesday night at 7 in the fellowship hall. The Schwartz family is going to come forward now in this season of Advent. We have a little call to worship and a lighting of our Advent candle. And so the Schwartz family is coming forward now to lead us in our call to worship and an Advent wreath. You can follow along with the words in your bulletin. They're also up on the screen as well.
The darkness has long been upon us. We long for the light, the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. The light has not yet come.
We wait and watch for the dawning of God's glory.
This one candle casts its light into the darkness. It reminds us to stay awake and watchful, for the promised one will come to us at an unexpected hour. It reminds us of the hope that we find in Christ, child, a hope that sustains us always. Let us pray. How we long for the light of your presence, Holy God. Guide us from the night of our hopelessness, and lead us with joy towards the dawning of your new day. Amen.
Let us pray. O loving God, we ask that you might prepare your way within us. As this new year of life in your church unfolds, make of us a people ready to receive you, to learn from you, and to receive your gifts, and to live out your calling and mission. Prepare your way within us and fill us with hope. We pray through the name of the coming one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We invite you to be seated, and as you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come down forward to meet Pastor Brooke for today's Children's Moment.
Good morning. How are you all doing today? All right. Thank you, Reverend Yonker over there. He had a little more enthusiasm than we did. It's still early for us to be excited, isn't it? Thank you, Hunter. Come on over. Come sit in front of me. Over here. I've got things to show you, so if you sit down front, you'll be able to see. You know, it's a bit of a dreary day outside, but inside our sanctuary, it's a beautiful morning. Did you notice anything different inside the sanctuary today, Jack? Christmas decorations. What do we see specifically? Charlie? We've got Christmas trees. What else do we have? Hunter? Out in the front, right. When you came in, there's a tree covered in red ornaments. Yeah. What did you see? What do you see here that's different? We have a lot of bows. You're right. Lots of bows, Jack. We've got candles. Yep, Emmy. We've got wreaths. Yep. We have changed, and this is a little one to notice. You'll notice our cloth has changed to purple instead of green. And that is for our special season. The reason we decorated is because we have started a church season called Advent. That is the season that leads to Christmas. And I am very excited about Christmas. I'm sure you all are. Have you decorated at home yet? Yeah, some of us have. Some of us are about to, haven't quite yet. You know, our decorations are very important to us and have lots of memories, right? At home, you may see the ornament that you hang up, and it's an ornament that you made when you were even littler than you are now. Or maybe you smell a Christmas candle and you smell peppermint or cinnamon or balsam wood, and you immediately think of Christmas. Our decorations have special meanings to us. And here in the church, our decorations are all very special and important to us. I wondered if today you all might help me decorate the trees. We have some special ornaments, and they're brand new this year. And I'm going to have Maren, she's my helper today. She's going to hold up the first one to show you. These are special ornaments called chrismons. Can you say that word with me? Chrismons. And they have symbols on them, and you'll notice that they are gold and white. The white is for purity, and the gold is for God's glory. And each one has a different symbol, and I want to tell you what those symbols mean. Yes, you're right. Both gold and glory both start with G. You're right. Good listening. So all of these symbols tell the story of Jesus. This first one is a dove. Now, the dove can remind us of Jesus' baptism when a dove came down from heaven. It also reminds us that Jesus came to share peace with the world. The next one is a fish. See the fish there? Some of Jesus' disciples were fishermen, and he called them to be fishers for people. It also reminds us of Jesus. The shape of a fish sometimes represents Jesus. The next one is the Star of Bethlehem. And the Star of Bethlehem is the star that led the way for the wise men to find Jesus. Okay? The next one is the cross. And we all are very familiar with the cross. We see that symbol at our church a lot. Even though this is the season when we think about Jesus' birth, we also remember his death and resurrection as an important part of his whole life story. And so we have our cross. The next one is the angel. Angels had a very important role in the story of Jesus' birth. Can we find the angel? There it is. The angels told lots of different people about important things that were going to happen. And in fact, this whole month, Pastor Dave is going to be preaching about the angels who were part of the Christmas story. Yes, the angel's very golden, isn't she? The next one is called Cairo. This is kind of an interesting one. This one shows two Greek letters that are the first Greek letters of Christ's name. The next one is called Trinity. You find the Trinity one? And this one represents the Father, which is God, the Son, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. All three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the last one is called a chalice. It also is kind of like a cup. This reminds us of communion, and it reminds us of the forgiveness that we receive through Christ. So here in a minute, after we pray, I would love for each of you to take an ornament and help us decorate our trees. Now, before we pray, because I'm going to forget, I want to tell you, we don't have Children's Church and Jump today because it's still the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, so you're going to go back and sit with your parents for the rest of worship. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, on this first Sunday in Advent, we hang the ornaments showing symbols that share the story of your love for us. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your story. Amen. Now, I would like some of you to come get one from Maren. You're going to go over to that tree to hang it up, and then I'm going to give you some, and you'll go over to this tree. Okay, you've got one. What a beautiful time it is for us, and so I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God of divine light, we are your grateful daughters and sons. God of ever-present light, in you there is no darkness. We will praise you as long as we live in every way we know how. We put our faith in you with childlike trust. Our hope in you rests secure.
God of compassion, open our hearts to receive you gladly. Remove our resistance. Enlighten our minds and brighten our eyes that we may recognize your coming again in the Christ child. For it is in him that we find strength for our inner being. It is in him that we are rooted and grounded in love. It is in him that we are set free to accomplish abundantly far more for you than we ever could alone. It is because of him that our hope overflows and we never lose heart. We want to walk as children of your light. We want to follow Jesus. Comfort us so that we may comfort those who mourn and encourage the poor in spirit. Shepherd us that we may shield the weak and bring back the lost. Forgive us so that we may become forgivers. Humble us that we, like you, may humbly serve. We thank you, God, for your grace, and we pray that you would forgive us when we lack grace for others. We lift to you the prayer concerns that weigh on our hearts this morning. We lift up those who suffer from medical illness and challenges. Be with them, strengthen them, and replenish their hope when it runs dry. Come alongside all on our prayer list for their various needs. Comfort those who hurt and heal those in need of healing. We ask for all of this in accordance to your will, O God, and ask that we be open to your ways even when they don't align with our own hopes or desires. God of Advent promise, come. As in the past and as in the future, be with us now. We are so grateful and happy to be called your children and to call you our God. Receive these prayers of our hearts and bless them, even as we bless you in every way we know how. We offer them in the name of Jesus as we lift our voices together to pray the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, and we'll be reading various verses throughout that first chapter there. You can see them on the screen or follow along in your Bible if you'd like. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years. The angel replied, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When this time of service had ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
Decorating your Christmas tree is always a trip down memory lane. Maybe you've already done it. Maybe it was yesterday's family activity. Maybe it is still to come later on this afternoon. Maybe you put your tree up in and around the 4th of July, and it's been up in your house ever since then. But once you get it up and you string the lights and you replace any of the broken bulbs, putting on the ornaments is almost like a holy kind of experience. If you've been around for a while, maybe you've been collecting ornaments for years and years, and each one has a special significance. Maybe you bought them on trips. Maybe you received them as gifts over the years. And along with this, you have ones that have very special memories attached to them. Some that say baby's first Christmas or your first Christmas together married. Maybe you even have art projects that your kids or grandkids made that used to look like something very special, but now just look like a whole bunch of glitter glued on a bulb and it's kind of worn off over the years. If you're like our family, then each one of these holds special memories, and they mean so very much. And once you pull them out of the box and you begin to arrange them on the tree, it's a trip down memory lane for sure. So it is for us here in the church. Each year we tell the same old, old story in this season. And it's not new. If you've been around before, then surely you've heard it. And even if you're just coming to faith now, maybe you've heard it someplace outside the church. It's more than 2,000 years ago. It is old and familiar. And because of that, there is a joy to be found in the story. This pastor friend was telling me a long time ago that someone in his church was lamenting that every single year on Christmas Eve, he was assigned to read the same reading every year on Christmas Eve. And my friend was like, yeah, this is Christmas Eve. It's the same story every single year. I mean, we get Jesus' birth, like this is our time to shine. This is what you're going to get every single year. But the great thing about Christmas and these 4 weeks leading up to it called Advent is that we get to hear the story from different perspectives. Sometimes in Advent we hear the story from the shepherds. Every once in a while we hear it from the wise men. We get Mary pondering things in her heart. We get Joseph freaking out at the message from the angels. Last year during Advent, we talked about what each of these candles mean of hope and peace and joy and love. They're all a different way to hear the old, old story. And so this year, we get to hear the story from the point of view from the angels. There aren't that many named angels in the Bible, and we don't often talk about them in church. But they are central to the story and the birth of Jesus Christ. And so over the next 4 weeks together, between now and Christmas, we're going to be hearing the message from the angels. We mentioned that we have this new class that's going to be going along with this, and you're more than welcome to attend it. But even if you can't make it, if you'd like to pick up a book that can be read alongside the series, you're more than welcome to do so. And so we hear this week this series of the angels of Christmas. And so today we get to meet Gabriel. We'll meet him again next week whenever he shows up to Mary. But today we hear about the angel Gabriel showing up to Zechariah. Now, for Bible nerds just like me, the story of Gabriel coming to Zechariah is classic. Like, I mean, it is full-length feature film blockbuster kind of excitement, at least for me. Now, and we didn't hear all the story today because, to be honest, all of Luke 1 is like 79 verses long. And if we read all 79 verses, then surely you would fall asleep and you would miss the sermon. And so we kind of broke it up into pieces. But what happens in this is that Zechariah is a priest in the house of the Lord, and he is on duty twice a year for 1 week. And so we can imagine Zechariah up in the front of the sanctuary, like up here by our communion table, and he is there by himself in the temple, burning incense, praying to the Lord, while everybody else was outside the temple also praying. And so the story says that one day while he is there praying, this angel shows up. And Zechariah's reaction to the angel, of course, is amazing. The Bible, in fact, says that he was startled and overcome with fear, which seems about right. If we were there praying and an angel came up to us, we would also be startled and overcome with fear. And to make matters worse for Zechariah, the angel says, "I am Gabriel, sent by God to you." And surely that may have been enough to make Zechariah pass out. Because I'm pretty sure that he knows his scriptures, and so he recognizes that Gabriel has come before. way back in the story of Daniel and the lions, then the angel Gabriel was there too. And so Zechariah knows that something amazing is about to happen, and it does. Gabriel says, I bring you this good news, Zechariah, that is for you and for your wife Elizabeth. You're going to have a baby. And not just any baby, this baby will become John the Baptist. He will prepare the way for the Lord to come. He will make everyone's path straight. He will get us ready for Jesus Christ to come. That's what God is going to do through you, Gabriel says. And so, of course, Zechariah is not quite sure what to make of this. And he wasn't quite sure what to do with it because he and Elizabeth did not think this ever would be possible. He's not sure it's real. He says, how can this be? I am old and my wife is old and together we are old and we're getting cards in the mail from like AARP and we're like signing up and like Medicare open enrollment. And you say now that we're going to be first time parents, surely you must be joking. Maybe you're looking for Zechariah who lives down the block instead of me because surely there's a mistake. But what happens when Zechariah questions all of this? Gabriel says, because you cannot believe it and do not think it's true, you're going to remain silent from this moment on until the baby comes. And that's my favorite part of the story. Gabriel leaves, and Zechariah is still in the temple, now unable to speak. And everybody else is still outside the temple and they are still praying and they begin to wonder why it's taking so long to burn that little bit of incense. And so when Zechariah comes out, everyone is like, where have you been? But now because Zechariah can't speak, he's motioning in like every which way. And it's almost like biblical charades. He's like three words, the first word angel. And he's trying to like get a whiteboard to write down what has happened. And the story does not say, but in my mind, Elizabeth is like, my husband can't speak for 9 months. Praise the Lord Almighty. It's going to be a party in my house every single day. Girls, come on by. Zechariah is in the next room and he can't even complain whatsoever. He's mute for 9 months straight. Because here in this amazing scene, when Gabriel shows up, suddenly the presence of God changes things. The presence of God breaks through in ways that the people did not think was possible. Now God is moving through people who did not see themselves as messengers of the Lord. In fact, at the very end of the story, if you go home and you read all through Luke chapter 1, you see that at the end of the story, Zechariah finds his voice when the baby's born. In fact, he sings a song praising God from all that he has seen and heard over those 9 months. In fact, he says this. He says, he has raised up for us a mighty Savior for the house of his servant David. He spoke through the mouths of his prophets from old that we might be saved from our enemies and all those who hate us. You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by forgiveness of their sins. And by the mercy of God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to all those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, so that we might find our feet guided on the way of peace. At the end of those 9 months, when he's been silent the whole entire time, this is what Zechariah sings, praising God for what Gabriel has announced, that they did not think was possible, but God has moved in this new way. After being silent, now he can say, praise the Lord for all that I've heard. Now, I love that part. I love that part when Zechariah goes mute. Because I can just imagine it in my own mind. He's experiencing all that Gabriel has told him, and it's come true. He didn't say a single word. Maybe there's something to learn there for us. Not that we should be silent for 9 months straight, but maybe there's a lesson for us at the beginning of Advent. I find that little bit there in this old, old story so amazing and wonderful, partly because our world and our lives are so loud. If it's not our phones or the radio or TV, it's something else, because there's always a background of noise that is loud and prevalent and drowns out the voice of everything that's underneath. Zechariah was quiet for 9 months, and all he could do was listen. And maybe for him, one of the reasons that he was sitting there listening, maybe he couldn't even speak a single word because he was standing in awe of all that he'd experienced. Like standing in those times when there are no right words to say. Maybe Gabriel knocked his socks off and he's not quite sure what to do with this message. Like he's left mute and now Elizabeth is going to have this baby and he can't even find the words to say. And so maybe for us at the beginning of Advent, when we have 4 weeks to go until Christmas and there is so much to do and our lives are going to speed up and hurry up and we're going to find ourselves as busy as can be, maybe we need to learn from Zechariah and stand more in awe. In awe of all that God has done and who Jesus Christ will be for us. In fact, as the Methodist pastor Susan Robb said, maybe we should become more speechless in this season and listen more to God and our friends and those that we share life with so we can notice the presence of God more. Maybe if we tried to block out all the noisy clatter from our lives so we can listen to the Spirit moving through us, so that we might have more hope and peace and joy and love in this season. Maybe that's it for us. I wonder what would happen if we stood more in awe of the beauty and wonder of God here and now. Maybe that's our challenge. Instead of cultivating another event or another project or more noise, we should cultivate some quiet so that we can hear what God is calling us. We can listen for the voice of Christ speaking to us even here and now. We might hear the good news of Christ coming once again. Let us pray. O loving God, in this season of hope and expectation, we give you thanks for the good news and the old, old story that has been passed down through the ages. We give you thanks, O God, for your angels that have been your messengers of peace and hope and love, those that have shared your good news through your people down through the ages. We pray, O God, that we too can be quiet in this time, that we can find time to put aside all that weighs upon us and all that fills our calendar, so that we might know that you are near. That we might experience your love speaking to us and moving through us here in this season of Advent. Fill us and bless us in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.